Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, this is the Drive On Podcast, where we talk about issues affecting veterans after they get out of the military. I'm your host, Scott DeLuzio, and now, let's get on with the show. Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to the Drive On Podcast. Today, my guest is Seth Schultz, who is a PHP programmer and developer. He's also one of the founders of a company called Event Espresso. Seth has been in web design and development since the early 2000s, but his journey to running a successful software business wasn't always an easy road. Seth talked about his journey in a speech a few years ago at a conference in Las Vegas that I had the opportunity to attend. Seth had served in the Arizona Air National Guard in the mid-90s and had hopes of working in the aerospace industry after getting out of the National Guard. So Seth, welcome to the show, and why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
Hi, Scott. Thanks for having me. I graduated high school in the mid-90s and went directly right from high school into the Air National Guard, where I wanted to learn, wanted to learn non-destructive inspection and stuff like that. It was, looking at airplane parts and inspecting them for defaults or defects and stuff like that. I was always interested in airplanes and aeronautics and stuff like that since I was a small child. But, growing up and in, the community that I was surrounded with, I never really felt like it was pilot material. It was always, I struggled in school, that type of thing. And always, later in life or, in high school, I started, following around the wrong crowd, and getting into, facing some problems with addiction and stuff like that. So during high school, it was, I always felt like I was behind in my grades and stuff like that. And I never felt smart or anything like that. Like I didn't have the tools to succeed, I guess. So I looked at the military as a way out of my current situation and into a career that was, into a kind of a lifelong career that, would hopefully pan out someday. And I'd, be better off than I was and stuff like that. But once I got into the military, I really loved the boot camp, and it gave me a good foundation and a stronger community there. Then when I got out, when I came back home from the guard after going to tech school and stuff like that, I came back home and I started associating with some of the same people. And I even found that, some of the same people were with me in the guard. And so I fell into those old ways of addiction and, struggling with life in general. And after a couple of years, after a few years, I did my time in the guard and still facing struggles. I went on to deliver pizzas for a couple of years, and then things started crashing down. I didn't have a vehicle at the time because my car broke down and stuff. And so I just, it came to a point where I just had to get out of there. I had to completely leave the people that I was around, that I surrounded myself with, including my parents, my friends, everybody. I just totally picked up one day and left. And I, basically had no idea, no plans what I was going to do. I knew some people that I'd met in the Air National Guard. I knew some people in Wyoming. I had this plan to hitchhike to Wyoming and find my friends and kind of maybe see if I can get back into things up there. And I never made it to Wyoming. I ended up getting stuck in Salt Lake City, Utah. Just trying to make my way in life, stuff like that. I ended up sleeping behind a Catholic church for a few months, and because I was homeless, and just working my way through life, you know, trying different job after job, and then, you know, eventually found a new community. I made friends, met my wife, and then I started looking seriously at things, and started looking at seriously at, you know, what I'm going to do with my life, and trying to change around, you know, get away from the addictions, and trying to get a new class, you know, find new communities and new friends and stuff like that. And one of the ways I found a new community was by getting into like programming and that type of thing. Cause there was at the time programming and or web development was still kind of new, early, even though it was the early 2000s or something. A lot of things were changing, and you know, technology was growing. And so,
and it's definitely changed a lot since then.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I found that, you know, there was a lot of other people out there in these chat rooms and programming forums and stuff like that, that were all kind of, you know, we're all kind of struggling with questions, and, you know, might be questions. A lot of it was questions about programming, but then, you know, you start getting deeper into questions about business, you know, questions about life and stuff like that. People are just, you know, saying what's going on, you know, I just got this job. I'm over my head. I don't know all these programming languages, et cetera. And people will just jump in and answer their questions and help them out. I thought that was amazing, you know? And so that's what got me into away from all that other stuff, you know?
And it's interesting how you said how you kind of felt like you needed to kind of just almost pack up and get away from all of that. There was a study that I was reading about a few months ago that I read, and they were talking about soldiers in Vietnam. And mm-hmm. there was lots of drug use over in Vietnam, and some of the drugs that the people were doing over there, the experts, you know, quote unquote experts at the time, were saying, well, some of these drugs, once when you start using them, you're going to be addicted to them, and there's no getting off of them, and so they kind of almost had like no hope for these guys coming back after they got out, you know, back from Vietnam and everything. But turns out when they got back, and they got back to their hometowns and their communities with their normal routines that they were going through, the vast majority of them, I think it was over like 80%, I forget the exact numbers, they all went back to their normal ways of you know, they stopped using the drugs and everything like mm-hmm. that. But some of the people, the small percentage of people who continued to use it, they went back to a place where drug use was higher, you know, where it was easily more readily available, and it was easier for them to just continue doing that. And so, you know, it's interesting how a change of scenery sometimes, or a change of, you know, location, the people that you're associating with can contribute to, you know, how you're how you form your own habits in terms of, you know, stuff like that. So that's interesting to see how that worked out in your case. And you saw that, you know, similar results from a change of location. You know, obviously, like you said, it was a hard move, you know, having to mm-hmm. kind of pack up and move away from family and friends, dealing with homelessness and things like that. That's obviously, not easy for anybody to do. Then you said, you know, eventually you started to discover the programming and things like that. So I'm curious to kind of hear how you went from that stage of, you know, being homeless, and then deciding, you know, something needs to change, and how did you eventually get into programming from where you were at?
So, you know, I guess let me backtrack a little bit. I guess, you know, I had created bonds, you know, and community with you know, with, I had created a bond with the drugs or the alcohol or whatever. And when people are lonely and stuff like that, or they don't have a strong community, they build bonds with, you know, with different things like bad people or, you know, or drugs and stuff like that. So, you know, my thing, you know, leaving my family and stuff like that, leaving all my friends behind was part of, you know, breaking that bond that I had with all of that, you know. So I had this basically separating myself, and it allowed me to refresh and restart a whole new life and a whole new outlook on who I was, basically. So, you know, when I left, you know, I got somewhere and I was homeless. I just met other homeless people and I started working. You know, I tried to hang out with other homeless people that were actually motivated and looking for work and stuff like that. And trying to get, you know, trying to stay away from, you know, I had a pretty good idea of what, you know, people look like that were on drugs by that time. And you know what I mean? And so finding a different community and, you know, finding a different community, finding different people to talk to and to associate with was kind of how I got away from that, you know, away from that bond of the drugs and alcohol and stuff like that. And so with the, you know, once I, you know, started meeting people and that type of thing, it was easier to start forming relationships with people that were not using drugs and that type of thing. And so, you know, we started, you know, when you can reset yourself or refresh yourself, you start to find that it's easier to make new friends and to start fitting in different places. You know, so I kind of focused on that, tried to make new friends, meeting new people. And I eventually made, you know, met my wife and, you know, hung out with her and started giving me motivation and that type of thing. And then eventually I wanted to go back to school, you know, after a while, it was like, you know, my motivation started building up. I had a really low self-esteem. I had like a really low motivation when I left, you know, my hometown and all that stuff. When I came to a new place, I was encouraged, you know, to find, by putting myself at the very bottom, I was encouraged to find work and to survive, basically. It's like a survival instinct. You know, you want to go, you know, find other people and stuff like that. And so that kind of, you know, eventually, you know, just cleaning myself up, keeping myself with people, with like-minded people. And then, you know, with, as far as the programming stuff, I went back to school and I went back to school to learn electronics at ITT Tech Institute, ITT Technical Institute. And I got in there and I started making forming new bonds and making new friends. And then, you know, I started learning. They taught us a little bit about, you know, web design and stuff like that, but everything they were teaching us was from like, you know, 5 years ago. It was like, we were always 5 years behind. So I started teaching myself like how to do web design. And like I said previously, going into forums and searching Google and stuff like that on how to program. And eventually I traded all those bonds or traded all those, you know, thoughts of seeking drugs and stuff like that for seeking answers. I started wanting to find answers to, you know, about my life, about programming, about, you know, about habits and stuff like that, and trying to figure out why I had addiction and why, you know, what was going on and why I had depression and why I felt all these different ways. You know, once I started getting into all that stuff, and it just opened a whole new world for me. You know, you know, you wanted to hear about the programming and stuff like that, but a lot of it was, I think, just finding communities and stuff that were, you know, that were active and, you know, that were available to people like me that were, had a lot of questions and had, that were basically lost, you know?
Right. Yeah. And so
you're not the first person that I've talked to, and this show is still, you know, kind of relatively new, but you're definitely not the first person that I've talked to who said something similar along those lines in terms of finding, either finding a community or being together with people, you know, not trying to go it alone and trying to just figure things out on your own. You know, and as a business owner, you know, I'm sure you can relate that to your own business too. You know, if you were the CEO and the accountant and the janitor and the everything else, the marketing and everything else, like that for any one person, that's just too much. And you're not, I'm sure if you're anything like me, you're not great at all of those things. And so you're going to just have a mediocre business if that's all that you're going to do. And, you know, so instead you go and find people who are great at certain individual things and you build the business that way. And it's, life is really, I don't think much different. You know, I don't attempt to cut my own hair, right? Because I'm not trained how to cut my hair, and I would probably look like a clown if I did. And so I go to somebody who knows how to do it, and you know, I come out and look all right. So, you know, but it's the same thing with other things in your background. You know, you want to be around other people who can help you, you know, move forward and go in the direction that you're looking for, as opposed to keeping you where you're at, or even taking you a step backwards from where you want to be. And so I think it's, you know, it's awesome that you had that similar experience that you kind of discovered it, like you need to be around those people that are going to help get you to that, you know, whatever your goals happen to be, you know, get you to that next level. So obviously, you know, you had some struggles and you kind of came around at some point, you know, to discover that this community and seeking the answers. Was that kind of like the turning point for you, the tipping point? Like maybe it was when you met your wife or, you know, whatever. What was the maybe aha moment or the, that turning point where you decided like that things have to change and this is what it's going to.
Yeah, so that turning point, you know, was like, you know, I think it came to a point where I just felt like I was in this hole that I couldn't climb out of. You know, it was like most of my thoughts were about either finding, you know, at the time most of my thoughts were about finding, you know, finding my next fix or next party or whatever like that. And you know, and the other half of the thoughts were about suicide, basically, and just trying to find a way out. You know what I mean? And so the turning point was like, you know, I think the turning point was when I left, you know, I got away from the situation. I left my parents' house and, you know, my grandparents' house, wherever I was living at the time. I left that. And, you know, it was like, I don't know what it was or why I did it. It was just something that I felt like I had to do. You know what I mean? It's like when it's either life or death, basically. You know what I mean? It's like, do you go down a path that you're going to die, you know, or do you continue to go down that path? You know, it's bad. It's going to destroy you. Or do you start figuring out a way to climb yourself out or build yourself up so you can, you know, get out of that. And basically what I had done is like, you know, I just figured, you know, I just needed a change. So the turning point was like, you know, it's like basically life or death. You know, it was like, I was one of my parents, my estranged dad was, you know, I was living with him at one point in life or at one point in time, right before all this happened. And he was, you know, he was a heroin addict and stuff like this. And he tried choking me one time when I wouldn't take him to go get his heroin fix. At that time I was trying, you know, I was done with drugs. Basically I was done doing that stuff, but I had nowhere to live. And so, you know, he tried to choke me and I was like, you know what, screw this. I'm out of here. I never saw him again. I did. Well, I saw him, saw him once and then he died a short time later. But the turning point was like, you know, just getting out of that situation. It was facing down that life or death situation, you know, and then it all built up, you know, it wasn't just, you know, it didn't happen overnight. it took several years. You know, it took several years of just, you know, there was a few slip ups or whatever where I'd go back, and then I was like, you wake up the next day and you're like, what did I do? You know what I mean?
Sure.
Just
yeah, it sounds like it really would be hard for all of this to kind of transition overnight anyways. You're not going to just wake up the next morning in a different town and all of a sudden have a job and a house and a you know, career and a family and everything like that. It's one of those things that it sounds like it almost has to be a slower process to, you know, take one step at a time. And there's a book I read a few months back called Atomic Habits, and it's about like tiny changes leading to big results. And so, you know, taking that each step, you know, cumulatively will lead you to a better direction. But, you know, it's hard to you know, just take that one giant leap. You're not gonna climb a flight of stairs in one step. You're gonna have to take each individual step one at a time until you get to the top.
It takes a lot of practice. you know what I mean? It's just like learning to walk. You know,
it's almost like
learning to walk. You know, you have to learn to crawl before you learn to walk. You know what I mean?
And that's sounds kind of like what you did in terms of your business. You know, you started off, you know, you went to the ITT Technical Institute, and you started learning, you know, a little bit of the website, you know, development and things like that back then. And then you took it upon yourself to kind of learn more about that stuff. And so that hard work, you know, eventually led to you kind of creating a business. I briefly mentioned, I mentioned the name of your business earlier, but why don't you tell people a little bit about your business and kind of how that business started and what you do now?
Sure. Yeah. So the business I run now, is called the Event Espresso, like the coffee drink. it's an event ticketing and registration platform, basically for people that want to, you know, run, if you're running, say you want to sell tickets to concerts, or you want to sell reservations to summer camps or even scrapbooking classes, that type of thing. That's kind of what we help with. Our software, you install it on your website and allows you to sell tickets and accept reservations to right on your website and accept payments and stuff like that. I started the business because my wife was a scrapbook demonstrator, scrapbooking demonstrator. So she would hold classes and basically, you know, supply materials for people to come in and create like birthday cards and scrapbooking pages for their photo albums, that type of thing. And what happened was she needed a way for people to pay online and to register and pay online. And everywhere I looked, there was the software, the solutions, the online solutions were quite expensive, and they wanted, they each took a cut of your ticket sales. And so we wanted to kind of bypass that since my wife was kind of starting out and new. So I started looking around the internet for a software, for like an open source software, like a piece of code that I could use without having to pay a lot of money for it. And I found that WordPress, I found a plugin for WordPress, which allows you to build websites. I found this little plugin that kind of did what she wanted, but then it was missing a lot of features. So I kind of took it apart and learned how it worked, and then kind of reprogrammed it, added a bunch of new features, and then released it under a new name. The person that had developed the first part of the software, he wasn't maintaining it anymore, and it kind of fell to the wayside. So I took it over, reprogrammed a lot of stuff, renamed it, and launched it as a new software. And that's where I'm at today. I basically maintain it and run a business around it. And we have about 10 programmers or 10 of us that actually maintain and market and sell the software to users.
Yeah, and that's a kind of awesome story. You had a need, or I mean, your wife had a need, and you kind of set out to try to solve that problem, and then you like kind of fell into a business around it, which is kind of neat. And you know, some of my products are similar to that, where I was kind of I guess scratching my own itch, trying to solve a problem, and then it turned out, oh yeah, I have a product that someone is actually willing to pay money for, and that, you know, so let's try to build a business around this kind of thing. You know, so it's awesome to see that you can find that motivation and you know, to get to that business you know, process where you're at, and through, you know, the hard work of you know, dissecting the code of the original you know, software that you found, and then adding new features and building up like that, and then, you know, through, obviously it's not an easy thing to do all of that stuff, and then you know, marketing and selling it and everything like that is hard hard work too, but you know, that's like kind of like what you were saying, just, you know, life in general, it wasn't an easy process getting from that kind of rock bottom stage to you know, to where you're at, or even that turnaround kind of phase. You know, building a business isn't necessarily easy either, but you know, if you stick with it, you know, it gets easy. I don't want to say it gets easier.
I don't know if it ever gets easier.
I don't think it ever gets easy. But it's not the like, it's not the fear of, gee, I don't know if this is even a thing that anyone will ever buy. You know, you've been in business for a few years now, and you probably have some, you know, comfort level of knowing that your product is solid and people will pay for it.
But yeah, it's a long road.
It's a long road, but you can get there eventually, where where the business is, you know, growing and maintaining and everything like that.
Right.
You know, so.
It almost feels like you know, sometimes it almost feels like it just happened overnight. You know what I mean? Here you are 10 years later, and it's just like a blink of an eye. You know, it's probably the best thing that could have ever happened to me.
Right.
In a lot of ways. You know what I mean?
And I guess in that respect, you sort of just needed to be open to the opportunities that were presenting themselves to you. For example, like your wife having this need to have this software to book tickets for the classes that she was doing, the demonstrations or whatever that she was doing. You know, if you kind of just poked around and found a couple solutions that were out there, but they were too expensive, and then just kind of threw your hands up in the air and said, well, that's all I could find. You and I probably wouldn't be talking right now, and this conversation could have gone a different way, and you might have been working in a different job, and you know, a whole bunch of other what ifs could have happened. And so that's you know, by taking advantage of that opportunity that presented itself, and you know, kind of digging in and putting in the hard work to get to where you're at now. You know, even though initially all you were trying to do is just solve one person's problem, you know, your wife's problem that she was having, it turned into a whole business where, quite frankly, you're solving thousands and thousands of people's problems by having that same solution. You know, all these people are, you know, whether it's a charity event where they're selling, you know, tickets to you know, a banquet dinner, or to a concert, or to a cooking class, or, you know, any number of things, there's people out there who are trying to sell tickets to it, and you have the solution for them, you know, in a affordable way that isn't, you know, going to cost so much money per ticket or whatever.
You
know, so it's awesome that kind of all kind of came to fruition that way. And you also entered a business plan competition early on in the business. Do you mind telling a little bit about that?
Yeah. So we entered. Early on in the business, I had been running I had built the software, and I was running it by myself for around 2 years. I had a little bit of help here and there from a few programmers that I had hired on a contract basis. But then I worked where I worked at the time, while I was building the software, I worked at a marketing agency, or not a marketing agency. I worked in a marketing department it was a coding and billing academy up in Salt Lake. But anyways, I worked alongside this guy named Garth Coyle. And so I brought him on about 2 years into this process. It was actually about a year. Well, for the whole time I had been talking to him, and he was going to school at the University of Utah. So Garth was going to the University of Utah during the time I was building this. He was in business. He was getting his MBA, his Master's of Business Administration. And he had wanted to go into healthcare administration. But the whole time I was, you know, through the whole 2 years I was building this thing, we were working side by side. And he mentioned, or well, I had talked to him and I knew he was really good with like business stuff and this type of thing. And so I had been talking to him and like, hey, why don't you come on board? I'll bring you on, you know, as a co-founder and that type of thing. And he wasn't really interested at first. Then he went away to Michigan to work at a hospital out there. I think it was Ford Hospital or something. And he ended up about 6 months later, he's like, you know what? I've been thinking I want to take you up on your offer. And so I was like, okay, let's do it. I'll bring you on board. And then about a month later, he was telling me about this program at the University of Utah. Since he was still in the University of Utah I think he was still doing something there, even though he had graduated, but he was telling me about this program, and it was the Utah Entrepreneur Challenge, and it was a chance to win like $40,000 for your business idea. And so I was like, all right, let's do it. You know, let's go ahead and submit an application. And so we submitted an application and we got into it. And we ended up having to write like a 30-page business plan, give a presentation to a panel of judges and all this stuff. And so we went through all this stuff. Man, it was hell. It was crazy. We had to dissect every single little part of our business and how we're going to make money and where we're going to be in 10 years and how much, you know, profit we think we're going to make in the first year and all this stuff. And so, you know, we get into this thing, and you know, we're like the whole time we're like thinking we had no chance. We don't have a chance at all in winning this thing. So we, you know, we go through all this, and then we end up in the top 10. We end up in the top 10, one of the top 10 challengers, I guess, or the top 10, whatever they had going. And so, yeah, one of the finalists. That's the word I was looking for. So we ended up as one of the top 10 finalists. And so we got invited to a banquet up at the University of Utah. And we're standing there. We had a booth and all this stuff. And so we had our marketing materials that I made up. And we had a little mobile app that we were getting ready to release. And so we had all this stuff. And it was like just off our software, just like off the wall. It was event ticketing, and all these other people were doing medical stuff, like medical devices, and you know, trying to prevent world hunger and all this stuff. And so we were sitting there. It was just me and my friend Garth, my co-founder Garth, and his wife. My wife was pregnant at home, and we were like, it's no big deal. We're probably not going to win. We're just going to go and show up. So we were sitting there and we're stuffing our faces full of food. And next thing you know, they're just, you know, naming off all the people. And they get to the last three and, you know, we had no idea what was going on. And all of a sudden they announced, they said, now for the grand prize winners and event espresso. And they announced our name and we both looked at each other and we're like, what? Did they just say our name? So we looked around and the whole room, this whole big room is like staring at us, all these people, and we're like, what? so like, come up on stage. So we go up there and they're like, they had this huge check for us. They ripped the tablecloth or whatever it was, the blanket off of this huge cardboard check, and it was like $40,000 to Event Espresso. And we're just staring at each other, and I had no words to say. I was dumbfounded, but my co-founder Garth, he got up there and said thanks and all this stuff, and I was fighting back tears. I had no idea.
That's amazing. Yeah.
I got up to the stage and I was like, yeah, thank you. Thanks everybody. I just walked away. I had no idea. But it was pretty crazy. It was like we spent so much time going over this and writing the business plan and giving presentation and trying to make sure our marketing materials were together. And it was just like it all happened like in a blink of an eye, you know.
Right. And I guess this all goes back again to, you know, just putting in the work, the hard work and the dedication to doing that. Because if you did a, you know, a half-assed job on, you know, your presentation for all of this, there's no chance that you would have won, you know, with other, you know, companies putting in the work, to get through that. And so, you know, you did, I'm imagining it's probably, you know, late nights and, you know, lots of, you know, blood, sweat, and tears going into it, that type of stuff.
But, yeah.
You know, you did it, and at the end of the day, you won. You know, and it's not like, you know, they were just handing out. they weren't just handing out checks to everybody who applied.
Right,
so,
like,
obviously, you did something that was special and unique to you know, be able to get to that point. So, anyways, well, it looks like we're kind of coming up on time here with all this, but I wanted to give you a chance. I like to ask this kind of like closing question. Is there anything that you wish someone would have told you before you joined the military? Any kind of advice or future planning or, you know, anything kind of like that would have helped you going forward?
I wish I'd have looked at other options of, you know, in the military besides, you know, going into the career I found, because I felt like I never felt like I really had what it would have taken to become like a pilot or something like that. Mm-hmm. My goals, I always wanted to be pilot and stuff like that. So I wish somebody would encourage me to follow my dreams and encourage me or give me more motivation. I wish I would have had more motivation to follow what I wanted to do, basically.
Yeah. So, I mean, setting your goals and like actually reaching for those, you know, is, yeah, that, I mean, that's awesome advice to have, because, you know, so many people are just content with, you know, whatever they're going through or, you know, wherever they're at, and they don't stretch for the, you know, something bigger or better. And it seems like you've done a lot of stretching over the years and getting, you know, working your way up, you know, and it's sort of like climbing a staircase or a ladder or something like that. You got to take it one step at a time, and you certainly have done that. So, so thank you for sharing that story and you know, offering that advice. I'm sure that the story, I know for me, was very, you know, inspirational and kind of motivational to listen to the first time I heard it, and even more so, this time around. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Scott. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
All right. Appreciate it. Take care, man.
All right. You too.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Drive On Podcast. If you want to check out more episodes or learn more about the show, you can visit our website, driveonpodcast.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Drive On Podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.